720 WGN. It is On the Road with Dane Neal here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue on a beautiful day. I mean, spring has definitely sprung, but this, I think, Lise, is the weather pregame show for the upcoming baseball season starting tomorrow. I don't know, unfortunately, I mean, I don't know. I'm just happy either way. It's going to start in St. Louis, but it's a great day.
Yeah, it is. I'm so excited. My first game isn't until April 20th, I think. But, you know, we're going to get there.
Well, they're all available on television, at least.
Unless, exactly.
Unless there's a big feud between Dish. And so we had Dish, you know, and for a while there was that whole WGN TV feud along with, you know, with the cable company. And it was tough. It was tough. You had to just kind of block it out and just kind of move on, especially during such a historic season. This is going to be a historic show, jam-packed as always. We're hoping to talk with Seth Zero from Bacon Fest. A lot of people are making their way to the UIC Forum today to get in on that's happening tonight. So hopefully through some part of the program, we'll be able to preview that. If he's got some tickets available, some last-minute options, we'll talk with Seth about that. But then the road trips continue coming up after the break here. We're going to have Steve Letarte. You know him as the crew chief for Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt Jr. You love his work on NBC. He is paired up with STP to do the Great American Road Trip. And so they're actually getting in a car, taking a road trip, places like Route 66. They did that last week. We'll be talking to them as they go from Nashville to Charlotte, North Carolina, and a stop at, and we talked with Scott about it, the Johnny Cash Museum. That should be exciting. Have you ever been to the Johnny Cash Museum, Lise?
No, I haven't ever been to the South, really.
Are you serious?
I know. So we got to get some trips planned.
Yeah, Jane. We got to definitely do that. Then coming up after that, in the second half of this hour, Kenny Wallace. You know him as a member of one of NASCAR's first families, but then also he is a Fox TV personality. But he's a huge Cardinals fan, and with the game starting tomorrow, the Cubs season starting at their arch rivals in St. Louis, he's going to be calling us from St. Louis to talk a little Cubs cards. We'll talk some cars as well, but some of that. And then, and this is something I'm really excited about, is your favorite car movie. So Blake, I like to call him Blockbuster Blake Stubbs. I'm not sure if he's completely comfortable with that, but he's going to be joining us to talk. He can talk any movies. I mean, you could say whatever kind of movie, you know, silent films where you're talking in subtitles with French accents, black and white with donkeys. It doesn't matter. He knows all movies, but also car movies. And it's so your favorite car movies, 312-981-7200. You can check in, ask him any questions about that, suggest them. And so ones like, Talladega Nights is certainly one, but also, you know, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Lise had in there, and, Gone in 60 Seconds. There's so many different ones. Smokey and the Bandit, the French Connection, either ones with great car chases, car scenes, or even ones that are just about cars. 312-981-7200. You can definitely add your thoughts on that. And then we're going to have Corbin Easton, country music superstar, is going to join us for a second. And then we're going to find a way to send you to a tropical, even though it feels very nice out today, but a tropical vacation. You get a chance to win a trip to Cancun tonight over at Coconuts, and a chance to enjoy the beach at, you know, all times over there at Coconuts, especially tonight when they're having a beach party where there's actual sand on the floor. On the line with us, we do have, he doesn't have sand on the floor, and he doesn't have bacon on the floor, but he's got it on everybody's plates over at Bacon Fest. Seth Zero, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dan, how's it going?
How's it going? You are in the eye of the greasy, delicious bacon storm as we speak. Is that right?
The swirling vortex of bacon fumes are everywhere around me.
It is odd. Now, so here is the opportunity to, we wanted to mention it now. I know that tonight is the last session. There are some tickets available where people can head down there and get in on this, right? They can get over there and enjoy some of it.
Yes, that's right. We do have some tickets left for tonight's Saturday dinner session. Bacon Fest is at the UIC Forum. If you want to get those tickets, just hop on to BaconFestChicago.com and come join me. I'm going to tell you, this has been an excellent year for Bacon Fest so far. Two out of three sessions, I've had delicious bacon dishes that have knocked my socks off.
So there you are, sockless in sandals, ankle deep in bacon drippings. And so for this session, and each one is unique, like a snowflake or like a piece of bacon, with their own DNA. So what are a couple of the top chefs that people are going to enjoy tonight?
I mean, that's a tough question. I'll tell you what I ate just now. I had honey butter fried chicken loaded mash, which was a chicken fat and bacon fat stuffed mashed potatoes with fried chicken on top and bacon and buffalo hot sauce with bacon grease in it. It was just absolutely delicious.
And so
tonight at dinner, there'll be 50 more as delicious as that. So definitely come check it out.
BaconFestChicago.com. You can get on there, get those tickets, then head over to the UIC forum. There's a lot of great parking over there. What time does it all start tonight?
If you want to come VIP, you come at 6 p.m. You get an hour of unfettered bacon pleasure. General admission starts at 7 p.m.
All right, Seth, we hope to see you. I know I'll see you out there. We're going to be helping with some of the judging, and I know that some of our listeners are going to join me and head out there as well. We'll see you tonight.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dean.
All right, thanks. Seth Zero, Bacon Fest. Wow. So if you're going to go, that's a short trip you can go in order to have a vacation for your mouth, right? Your tongue goes on vacation. And it's a nice one, too. Bacon Fest is very great. BaconFestChicago.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Steve LaTarte. I have been told he is going to have Kim Kuhn, who was former Miss Sprint Cub Riding Shotgun, with him on that trip. He'll be calling from the road. So stay tuned. It's Dave Neal here on 720 WGN.
So I'm taking my time on my ride.
Hey, this is Steve LaTarte driving across the country for the Great American Drive, and you're on the road with Dane at WGN.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, and on the line with us is a guy who has a NASCAR crew chief, was focused on getting top drivers like Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt Jr. to their destinations as quickly as possible. But now he is taking time to enjoy the ride, see the sights, and promote the road trip with our good friends over at STP with STP American Drive. We love all of the stuff that he is doing for this, for sure, and all his stuff on NBC, the one and only Steve LaTarte. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And now, Steve, you got to have the right co-pilot riding shotgun with you. And with you on this one is none other than former Miss Sprint Cup, and we love all the stuff she does at MRN. Kim Kuhn is with you as well.
Yeah, she's been riding with me. We did a leg of about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. We had Eric Amarola with us, and now I've upgraded. I got rid of a professional driver, which they're the worst backseat drivers.
Oh, my gosh.
I had NASCAR personality Kim Kuhn. We're having a blast. This has been a fun trip.
Well, when you say upgrading, too, because he seemed a little disgruntled. I love that part in the video where he's, you know, you have these social media obligations to share this with the world, and he's like, you're paying attention to all your virtual friends, and you're ignoring the one friend you have sitting in front of you. I love that part.
I told him, I said, we came on a road trip to spend time together. If I wanted to follow you on Twitter, I would have just sat at my own house. But that's really what this is all about. I was so thankful that STP came up with this idea for the American Drive. I remember as a young kid, some of the best memories I have are riding the racetrack with my dad, just in the car, you know, no phones, no technology, seeing the country. And that's what this is all about, is get up off the couch, get in your car, whether it's a local ride or around town or maybe up and down the interstate, find a new area of the country. But it's just a great way to see the country and find all these local spots.
Yeah, I love the stuff that you're doing. And you're doing some of the iconic ones, Route 66. Everybody knows about that. That is an amazing trip. And then you're picking some other ones out. And like you said, you're stopping at some really great places along the way that you might not find if you either weren't from that area or if you're just traveling by plane. So you guys already stopped at a couple places. And one of them, I was not aware that this was there, is the Johnny Cash Museum. What was that like?
I'm telling you, you know, Nashville is a town that I've been to a few times because there was a racetrack there and we tested, but I never spent any time in downtown Nashville. And we were there this morning. We saw the Johnny Cash Museum, as you mentioned, and it was amazing what that guy has done in his lifetime. The decades in which he covered as far as music went was unbelievable. And it was just cool. You know, it's a name you hear, it's music you hear, but to spend a little time in that museum was spectacular. It was a place, like you said, it might not be a destination place, but it should be. If you head to Nashville, you have to check it out.
Of course, cars, you're all about cars, and there's a car museum, and you guys get a chance to stop at a couple of these during the road trips. But this one was for Misfit Cars. Is it the Lane Museum? Like, what was that all about?
It was the Lane Motor Museum. He has trying to get the whole alphabet, missing E, missing Q. But what it is it truly is cars with stories. It's not just hot rods. But it's mini cars from over in Europe. It's all of these different cars, the history of cars. So I'm a car guy, and I love history, and this was the perfect combination. You really could look at the history of the world through automobiles, and Lane showed us around himself, showed us some of these vehicles, told us the stories. Once again, kind of a once-in-a-lifetime location.
I know you guys are getting a ton of great feedback from it, too. And I know that you're inspiring not only people to go and kind of generally do that road trip, but I'm sure some of these places you stop along the way are going to get a little bit of extra love from that, too, from you being able to promote and kind of talk about some of the places you guys are stopping.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, they have been more than gracious. Welcome us with open arms. And the whole idea is that, you know, this isn't Disney World. These aren't places that you would plan a trip to go to.
Right.
These are places that you should visit on a trip. And that's really what this whole American Drive is about, is there are thousands of places like the Johnny Cash Museum, like the Lane Motor Museum, all across the country, whether it's local to your house, down the street, down the road, or down the interstate. Get in your car, go out, show your family the world, spend a little time together in a car, and it's some of the most cherished memories I have with my family, and we're making more. Kim and I are learning a lot about one another. It's great. You know, Kim and I have known each other for years through the sport, but never spent this much time together in a car. I've learned her whole history, her whole family, and it's been a great ride.
Oh, my gosh. And you guys are really doing it, too. When we announced that we were going to have you guys on, one of the questions that people had was, well, are they really doing it? You know, or is Steve or Kim, are they just riding in a luxury motor coach, towing this car behind them that they'll just pull out to take some pictures with? You guys are really doing it. And so what car are you in?
Well, we got this beautiful little Ford SUV we're driving. I drove the first leg. We just had a little lunch at Dead End Barbecue in Knoxville. The fans voted on Twitter and decided nice. This is where we should go. They didn't let us down. It was great. I suggest the Burnt Ends. They're spectacular. If you like the pimento mac and cheese, it wasn't bad either. But now, you know, after lunch, the best thing you do on a road trip is take a nap. So now I'm going to let Kim drive, and I'm going to sit over here in the right seat, and I might take a little 30-minute siesta before we get to the next stop.
You mentioned that some of the listeners and fans can get in on choosing some of the places that you may stop along the way, but who decides on the road trips in general? Because you've got some great ones.
Well, I think most of it came from STP. They understand what the fans like and what they've recognized. Route 66 from Music City in Nashville to Asheville up in North Carolina, and we have some other great ones coming. I'm going to go to Martinsville Speedway with Dale Inman and Richard Petty, the King. We're going to take a little road trip up there. And this summer, I actually drive to Daytona every year for 4th of July weekend with my family. We're going to have some cameras involved and show everybody that. So this is something more than just a stance from STP. This is, practice what you preach. Well, we do it. The Letard family does take some vacations in the car every year, and we're going to show ours to Daytona.
Yeah, the whole road trip thing is really great, and the people from STP, what an iconic brand to get involved on that, too. And for the show, we always kind of get, whether it's athletes or drivers or people in the sport or just celebrities in general, just regular fans, everybody's got kind of a first car story. Now, you started working at Hendrix, I was reading somewhere, when you were about 16, so maybe you borrowed some of his old cars that were probably absolutely incredible. But what was your first car? Did you have like a car that you started out with that you either saved up for or that maybe your parents gave you?
So, the story goes that you learn a lot from your parents. Well, I'm going to have to give my dad credit for this. So at 16 years old, I got a chance to work at Hendrick Motorsports as basically the cleanup kid. And my dad let me drive his pickup truck to high school and then to work for almost a year while he bummed a ride with a coworker. And I truly love racing because of my father. I know everything I know in racing because of my father, but it's way more than that. He taught me how to be a great person. He taught me how to give back. And my first car was actually my dad's car. I hijacked his pickup truck for 12 months while he rode with a coworker. So that little Chevy pickup truck meant a lot to me back then.
Wow. Okay. It was great that he was sharing that, and you're sharing a lot of the greatest moments in racing that we have watched with those iconic drivers as well. Now you're sharing just everyday stuff that could be a chance to get out on the road, make some memories. So, Steve, let us know like how we can follow it. I know hashtag STP American Drive, but other ways people can catch up and keep up with all your adventures.
Well, the simplest way is you can either follow me on Twitter at Steve Letart, or today, Kim's with me. You can go to, at Kim Kuhn on Twitter. She's there. But then the other one is just follow STP, both on Facebook and Twitter, at Original STP on Twitter. And follow along what you mentioned, the hashtag. This is something we don't want to be just a singular event. It's not just Kim and I riding between a couple great towns, seeing some cool sites. This is something we're going to encourage all summer. The kids are getting out of school here soon after Memorial Day. Take a trip. Send your photo to both STP and myself, hashtag STP American Drive. I'm going to retweet them. STP is going to retweet them, put them up on their Facebook page. We really want this to be something that the fans can own and be a part of, and that's the whole key to it.
It's exciting. It's fun stuff and exciting. So glad that you guys took time out to join us here on WGN. And 10-2, make sure safety first, that you guys are driving safely. And one last time with the website, Steve, before we let you go.
Yeah, so basically the best thing to do is to go to STP's Facebook account. That's where they're going to hold all the videos. That's where we're going to promote it all. Or find either myself or STP on Twitter. They're easy to find and follow along. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah, Steve Letard, you know him, you love him. NBC, one of the greatest crew chiefs out there, and now on the road with STP and STP American Drive. Thanks, Steve, and thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you, sir.
Catch every minute of the Stanley Cup playoffs right here.
The Chicago Blackhawks on 720 WGN. rock the boat, and rock some new wheels. During the Wheelin' and Dealin' giveaway at Grand Victoria Casino, you could win your share of $360,000 in prizes, including cash and one of four brand new Chevy SUVs. Wheelin' and Dealin' giveaways are every Saturday through April 1st. Just play with your Club GVC card to earn entries. Rock the boat and win a Chevy during the Wheelin' and Dealin' giveaway. Only at Grand Victoria Casino, Elgin. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks. It's also the place where you can get brand names you trust. Ace carries brands like Valspar, Craftsman, Scotch, Tora, DeWalt, and Weber, to name a few. And our selection runs deep with items for your lawn and garden, lighting needs, painting projects, grilling, and more. And we offer tips and advice that will give you the confidence to take on any project. Stop by your neighborhood Ace today for the products and the help you need to get the job done right the first time. Only at Ace. The helpful place.
I'm Trina Webster.
And I'm Dan Webster, founders of Z-Quiet. Let me be honest, I snored.
Yeah, he did. Crazy loud.
And I was forced to sleep on the couch most nights.
Dan tried everything, including surgery, to solve his snoring problem.
Nothing worked.
So we turned to experts and created a solution that's a total game changer. A mouthpiece called Z-Quiet.
Not just any mouthpiece, one that gently opens the airway where the snoring happens. In fact, it's based on the same technology as treatments costing thousands of dollars.
It allows natural jaw movement so you can talk, breathe normally, and best of all, sleep comfortably without making a sound.
And what's really cool is that it couldn't be easier. Just pop it in before you go to sleep to kick snoring out of bed.
So you can sleep quiet
with Z-Quiet.
Z-Quiet fits both men and women. Try it risk-free for 30 days for just $9.95. Go to GetZQuiet.com or text SNAP to 91011. Go to GetZQuiet.com or text SNAP to 91011.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Hey, this is Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4 Jimmy John's Ford Fusion, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN, Dane Neal on the road, Lise Graham in the studio, Bob Kessler manning the news world up there, keeping us safe from danger, basically informational danger. And Lise, I wanted to share with the listeners too, is 312-981-7200. You can call in, you can text in, and here's what you can, I don't know if I got a chance to mention it when we had Seth with the Bacon Fest whirlwind, but your favorite cars, we're taking all those submissions there, and everybody who does that is going to be entered 2 weeks before the Indy 500. We've got two tickets to give away. We'll announce our winner, but anybody who sends in a picture of their first car or a description, a little bit of story, we've got some great ones. We'll be reading some more a little bit later on today. You can definitely do that. You can also, if you don't have like a first car you want to share, if you've got a great road trip, we're hearing about some of those today, you can do that. And this new thing, so coming up at a little bit after 3 o'clock, your favorite car movie, we're getting a bunch of those, and we're gonna be talking with Blockbuster Blake Stubbs about that as well. And at least we've got a Facebook page now too, right?
Yes, we do. On the Road with Dane, so you can just look us up on Facebook in the search bar. And I just posted the link to Bacon Fest tickets
if you want to make that road trip.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, you can bring the whole family, too. There's some options there for that. And the email for it as well is ontheroadwithdane, all one word, at Gmail, ontheroadwithdane@gmail. And you can go ahead and send in all that kind of stuff, right? Your first car, whatever kind of input you want, questions. We'll be getting to those a little bit later on in the program and then in the coming weeks as well. Right?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. So coming up, stay tuned because we're going to have the Kenny Wallace joining us talking some cars, some Cubs, and some Cardinals.
Hi, everyone. This is NASCAR driver Kenny Wallace and Fox Sports analyst. You are on the road with Dane and WGN. Come on,
720 WGN, on the road with Dane, and on the road with us while he is on the road is one of the favorite personalities and drivers of NASCAR, part of one of the first families of racing, whether it's on the track, on Sirius XM's Late Shift, on TV for Fox covering all the action, or in the stands cheering his beloved Cardinals on. On the line with us, we've got the one and only Kenny Wallace. Welcome to WGN.
I love you all. I love Chicago. I just want to let you know that, and thanks for having me on.
Well, you may love Chicago, but one of your first loves, obviously racing, grew up in a racing family, your dad raced, your brothers raced, and you've made a life out of racing. But one of your first loves, you do love those St. Louis Cardinals, though.
You know, I understand the rivalry that we have with Chicago. I want to make sure everybody knows that first. But I have no ill will at all towards those Cubs, and congratulations on your World Series. But you're right. I'm no different than any loyal, longtime Cubby fans. You know, I was born in the city of St. Louis, about 5 miles from Busch Stadium. And, you know, it's like a religion to us. You know, we don't do a good job at keeping football teams. So the Cardinals are my life. That is for sure.
And I've heard through our mutual friend, Julie Boucher, that there's a good chance that you'll be in the stands on opening day.
I will. I definitely will be. And, you know, as you mentioned, I work for Fox Sports, and they are letting me off this week. Our NASCAR race is at Martinsville. And so, you know, I always do the pre-race show, and so now they're going to tape it. I'm going to tape my pre-race, which is called Where's Wallace? I was hoping to have our ace pitcher, Adam Wainwright, stand next to me, but I got to do it at 9:30 on Sunday morning, and the Cardinals play your Cubbies about 7:30, so I don't think that's going to happen.
You know, as you travel the country in the world of racing, baseball is, you know, known as America's pastime. But racing is one of those things. Baseball has had its ups and downs, and racing has certainly had its ups and downs over the years. But in recent years, you know, obviously it is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, spectator sports. Talk about the comparison of the fans. A lot of times you have people grow up in racing. They aren't maybe, you know, fans of, as you guys always call them, you know, the stick and ball sports. But what is the comparison between the baseball fan and the racing fan?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I think I need to start a couple years ago when ESPN said, okay, we are not going to buy NASCAR. However, NBC was lined up and ready to buy it, couldn't wait to buy it. So Sam Flood, who is the president, you know, of NBC, there is a great article. And he said, you know, NBC bought NASCAR because it's the second biggest sport in the United States. And I went, whoa, well, let me check into this. And it's true. You know, I never realized that NASCAR had a bigger viewing audience, more people in the grandstands than my beloved baseball, you know, or NHL. And it was really strange to read something like that. But I would say, you know, sometimes some of my friends will say, how do you like that baseball? It's such a slow-moving game. And I said, well, I know the game. You know, if there's a runner on first with two outs, you know, most likely what manager is going to have that player try to steal second. You know, if you know the game, you can really enjoy it. Same thing with NASCAR. If you know the game, it's really a lot of fun. You know, cars are running around in circles and sometimes on road courses and sometimes at Daytona and Talladega where we run speeds of 200 mile an hour. And you got to know, are they going to pit? Are they going to run out of gas? Are they going to put on tires? And that's really how I would compare baseball and NASCAR. They sometimes might move a little slow, but boy, they're really exciting if you know the game.
You know, and I think part of it is getting people to be able to understand, get invested in, and getting to know, you know, the drivers, a little bit of the personality, the stories behind, a little bit behind the drivers. You know, people identify with the products. Let's say, you know, like the Bud car, the Tide car. You know, people identify with that, and people identify with the drivers on the tracks as well. One of the things that we, you know, are looking to do with this show is to highlight kind of that backstory, the personalities of the driver outside of the car. You know, you get a lot of the stuff, you know, during the broadcast as far as what's happening in the race, but to help them tell those stories. And that's one of the reasons why I thought it was so important to have you on, because you are one of those individuals that, you know, regardless of what was happening, like, your personality came through. People feel like they really know you, and you were able to share who you were as a driver and not just what you did on the track.
Yeah, you know, you don't plan it that way. You just end up being like that. You know, let me just say this. Your center fielder, Dexter Fowler, who now is playing for our Cardinals, I literally just read an article about Dexter Fowler about 30 minutes ago. And John Mozeliak, our general manager down here, he says he's never seen a guy like Dexter, where Dexter is friends with everybody. And I really hit home for me because, you know, it's not my objective to be friends with everybody. You know, I just am. And that helped me in my career. And it also helped me because, you know, we need sponsors to keep these race cars going. It takes money. No different than it takes money to keep a ball team going. You know, sometimes it's, you know, the fans in the grandstands is not enough, you know, to pay these salaries. So I've always been nice to everybody just because that's the way I was born.
Yeah. You know what, though? It is one of those things that people feel like, you say you're friends with everybody, people that you will never meet, you know, the millions of people that watch and enjoy what it is that you do on television, either on the broadcasting side, I certainly loved what you did on the track side. They feel like they know you, too. I don't know what it is. It's just an intangible thing. Like you said, you didn't necessarily plan it that way. And I've got to tell you, Dexter Fowler is, you know, he's one of, like, our favorite players. Personally, our family, he was one of our favorite players. I actually got a chance to catch his 13th home run. I was in the bleachers one game this last season.
Awesome.
He doesn't hit a ton of them, and so it was great. But what you guys have there is something that I don't know if we'll really fully understand exactly what we've lost. He's one of those greater than the sum of the parts guys, but he is a table setter. He is glue within the clubhouse. I mean, you guys are going to benefit greatly from having him on the team.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, with the way the business of, we always call it free agency, it pulls on our heartstrings. You know, when we lost Albert Pujols, it was a crushing blow to me. I had a lot invested into him. You know, he was such a good man, coming from, the Dominican Republic, and he really appreciated being over here in the United States and everything that it had to offer. And my God, I spent a lot of money, getting batting practice with him and giving money to his charity. So when we lose these players, it's brutal, and it becomes much more than a game. And I feel bad that you all lost Dexter, but we've gone through it too, and unfortunately, it's the rough part of baseball.
Yeah, take the labels off the teams. One thing we can kind of understand and see is that the success that you guys have had is undeniable. And you guys lose, managers and great players on a pretty regular basis, but always retool and are always competing and winning championships. So that's one of the things that, you're going to lose some players, right? And we got a couple players from the Cardinals, John Lackey and Jason Hayward, and, things worked out. You guys, I'm not really worried about the Cardinals. You got a great fan base and certainly, great management teams, front office and all that kind of stuff. I'm pretty sure you guys will be all right.
Well, I think the key to it is, let me just back up and say this. I always told my friends, I said, how can you not want something for a team that has, been suffering for so long? And in my heart of all hearts, the Cubs, their hero, your hero should be Theo Epstein, because I think that's one of the keys to the Cardinals at least being competitive, is getting the right general manager, because when it comes down to it, that's really the boss. I mean, it rules it all. So congratulations on getting Theo. And I just saw that, my gosh, didn't he get an incredible award the past week?
Is that even possible? Kenny, and so to let the listeners know, we're talking, of course, with NASCAR legend, broadcasting aficionado and racing superstar Kenny Wallace. And, of course, one of St. Louis's favorite sons with a big heart, though, and a soft spot for the mighty Cubs. But Kenny, I know that you can throw accolades on somebody, but like Theo Epstein, is it possible he is the greatest leader in the world?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm laughing with happiness for y'all, because listen, I believe he could be, because what is it, 25 men on a roster for baseball, and you got to put them all together and you got to narrow it down. And it'd be one thing if he did this once, but he went to Boston, and Boston had not won in 86, 87 years, right? So he comes to you all, and you all, the Cubs have not won in 108 years. So, yes, I do believe Theo is proving that he is the greatest leader in the United States. Maybe he needs to be the damn president of the United States.
We'll have to maybe start that petition and get him nominated. Kenny, hold tight. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more with Kenny Wallace here on the road with Dane on 720 WGN. WGN, and we are back on the road with Dane, and we've been talking with NASCAR great and longtime Cardinals resident, well, St. Louis resident, Cardinals fan, the one and only Kenny Wallace. We finally got him out of the wind. You out of the wind now, Kenny?
I finally realized that I needed to get in my tractor trailer and head to the racetrack. We're doing some testing here. And when I left, I started getting closer to the tractor trailer. My team was looking at me like, I know you're on the most famous radio station in the world, WGN, but you got to come on, Herm. So Just consider it part of the radio show.
Okay. So here's the thing, Kenny. You have always been about entertainment. Racing is entertainment. It's a great spectator sport. You have been an entertainer. And so with the rule changes that they brought in with the new Monster Energy Series, like, how do you look at that? Do you look at it as this is something that's going to affect racing a little bit, but you got to take it in stride, but it's going to add, I think, to the entertainment for the fans?
You brought up something earlier, and you made a good point, where baseball has had its up and down moments, and definitely NASCAR has had its high moments and down moments. So this new stage racing, we are still trying to gain the fans back. You know, our ratings are down. You know, our fan viewership is down. And so we're trying. You know, also like NHL, you know, nobody liked NHL hockey ending in a tie. Nobody, you know, liked overtime because it was so long. You know, and now they're 3-on-3. You know, and try and get these games over. And we are doing the same thing in NASCAR. We are constantly trying to be better. But in the end, it's also making some people mad that, you know, it's so different.
Well, the purists out there are going to say those things. But ultimately, like you said, it is entertainment and it is a business. I actually like it. You know, it gives some different opportunities. It makes, and because we all remember those days where, you know, sometimes if somebody got out to a big lead in the season, you know, those last handful of races were kind of irrelevant. And so this kind of keeps it going. You got that with the chase, and now you're making each and every part of the race relevant so people can kind of get some points going throughout the course of it. I personally think it's exciting.
It makes me happy to hear your viewpoint because, you know, I live, eat, and breathe this sport. I'm in the garage area every week. You know, of course, I race 905 NASCAR races, and sometimes I can get jaded. Sometimes I'm too close to it. But what I will say is this. We've had five races, and all five races have come down to the last five laps. And yep. I don't think that's a coincidence now. I, you know, if you had two or three, I could go, it's a coincidence. But we've had five races that have come down to it, and I think it's a lot because we're regrouping, you know, and at the end of the race, instead of these guys going 100 laps, you know, they're going 30 laps. And I think that's why the finishes are so exciting.
I couldn't agree with you more. Before we let you go, and road trip destinations for so many fans in racing are the track, and they head out to tracks all around the country, no matter how far they are, in the RV and all that kind of stuff. The tailgating is insane. It is legendary. But as a kid growing up, people have been sharing it, you know, all the different guests that we've had on. Did you guys, you know, with your dad and your parents and your brothers, were they road trips, you know, to the tracks to watch races, or did you guys do the whole, like, Yosemite National Park thing ever?
You know what? I have to say that we were a bunch of rednecks. We really were. You know, it's not that I'm proud of it. And, you know, a redneck is somebody that stays greasy all the time, working on cars or never showers. And unfortunately, that was us. We lived, eat, and breathe these race cars. And, you know, we never went fishing. We might have went to Six Flags over Mid-America a couple times, but, you know, we never even went to the races as fans. We raced. Of course, my brother, Rusty Wallace,
right,
my brother, Mike, and myself, and even my mom, you know, raced in Powder Puff. So my dad started it all, and, yeah, that was us. And actually, years ago, I went back to the home that we grew up in, and it just wasn't looking very nice. And I said to my mom, I said, "Mom, were we rednecks?" And she laughed, and she said, Unfortunately, Kenny, yes, we were.
Yeah. No, but it is a great legacy, and the sport could not ask for a better or more genuine, we brought up the entertaining side, but more genuine ambassador for it. And it's the kind of thing that I know that you know this. You're a very humble guy, and you get out there, but people love what it is that you do, whether it's on the radio side, on XM, and certainly on the broadcasting side. Last question, and I know the answer may be one of the race cars that was just around because of the older brothers and the dad, but what was your first car? Did you have a surprising first car that maybe people could identify or relate to, or was it a race car?
Yeah, it was. My first passenger car was really interesting. My brother, Rusty Wallace, his wife is Patty Wallace, but Patty's mom had a 1968 Chevelle.
Nice.
And it was a very ugly green, and I was very fortunate. I was given the car, and I wished I would have had it back nowadays, but I was so broke and going from one thing to the next. But that was my very first passenger car, and I wished I would have worked on it and souped it up a little bit, but I was too busy working on race cars.
hey, that's nothing to sneeze at. 68 Chevelle, regardless of what color it was, is pretty great, as is the stuff that you're doing for Fox and all the media stuff that people enjoy from Kenny Wallace. So, Kenny, I'm going to wish the Cardinals reserved good luck. I want them to have a successful
yep.
season, you know, limited injuries, you know, none of that stuff. Of course, second place, wild card is still good. You know, you can still hope for that in the division.
Hey, let me and you left me with that, and I'll leave you with this. So 2011, we win 85 games, and we're the worst team going in, and we win it all. So if you can peak at the right time and have all your team healthy at the right time, more wild card teams have won the World Series as of late than not. So congratulations on the Cubs' success, and we'll go at it again this year.
Absolutely. We're going to start on day one with that. Kenny, thanks so much for what you're doing. We'll see you on for anybody who wants to, because you're pretty prolific on social media. They want to follow you on Twitter and all your adventures. What's the way people can do that?
Yeah, you can follow me on Kenny_Wallace on Twitter. And then, of course, Kenny Wallace official page on Facebook. So we keep everybody informed on what we're up to.
He is the one and only Kenny Wallace. Thanks so much for what you're doing, and thanks for being on WGN today.
Hey, it's an honor, and thank you so much.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Hi, I'm John Force, and you're on the road with Dane, WGN. Love your show, and love Joliet.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was set in the pace?
720 WGN, it is on the road with Dane here, Allstate Showcase. Michigan Avenue, beautiful day. Wow, what a great day out there, and a great day to, you know, maybe you're not going to be sitting in and watching movies. Maybe you will be if you are. Hopefully we can inspire you on some of the I don't know, top or best car movies, but maybe your favorite ones coming up. As soon as we get done with the news here, we're going to have Blake Stubbs. He's going to join us to talk about all your favorite car movies. And Lisa, did you have, I know you put, when you kind of put that list together, there were some that I did not think of specifically as car movies. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't like,
well,
Annie Hall
thinking,
was in.
Okay, well, I was thinking more along the lines of like scenes, best scenes from movies that happen in cars.
Okay.
So Annie Hall, there's this great scene where Diane Keaton is driving her car and Woody Allen is in the passenger seat and he's like freaking out because she's an awful driver. And, you know, throughout like New York City, 1970s.
Streets, right.
It's hilarious. But also, oh, I had so much fun coming up with this list. Little Miss Sunshine. You know that, I mean, that's a whole road trip movie.
Right.
But that ridiculous scene where they have that yellow van, you know, and they have to like,
they're pushing the van.
Yeah. Dumb and Dumber was on there.
Normally they're more discriminating as far as the people that they pick up. Remember, then they let him into the
right.
giant dogmobile.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of great car scenes that aren't necessarily part of car movies. Someone had brought up to me when I was talking this week about doing this, the Pulp Fiction scene in the car, which was really kind of messy and disturbing. So you've got everything from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang on the friendly and fun side to kind of the disturbing and certainly messy side as well. 312-981-7200. You can weigh in with yours. Blake is going to have a bunch of those coming up after the break. And you can still, of course, text in and call in. Lisa's going to print some of those out, and we'll read some a little later on in the program. Your first cars and your favorite road trip. You'll be entered to win the two tickets to the Indy 500. Coming up. So that's going to be some exciting stuff. So it's good. So keep it coming, people. We appreciate it.
This is my best friend, Garth Algar.
Hi.
I think we'll go with a little Bohemian Rhapsody, gentlemen.
Good call.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
All right, 720 WGN on the road with Dane here, Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And you think about it, even a movie like that, Wayne's World, right? It wasn't a buddy film for sure, right? There was a little bit of music in there. There was some cable television, I think, there was on it, a love story or two, and a fully stocked and functional Babe Lair with Rob Lowe. Was he in that? Right. Okay. Yes. Yeah, so we had a lot of different components, but also the car was kind of central to it. And you look at a movie like that, and we've gotten some other from the 847, a suggestion of Christine. And then also from the 630 Christine, which is, a totally different movie. You've got basically a horror movie based around, a car, then something really goofy and ridiculous like Talladega Nights. Bullet with Steve McQueen. We got so many different ways when you think about it, just as the car is such a big part of our lives and kind of our histories. Same with the movies. On the line with us, we've got a guy that has his hand on the pulse in the steering wheel of all things movies on a regular basis. It's Blake Stubbs. Blake, welcome to WGN.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be on in the afternoon. I was on at 3 a.m. this morning, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to be on again in 12 hours, and that is awesome.
Well, you have to plan your schedules, but here we broke it up a little bit where you're at least getting kind of a – you don't have to have your hand on the entire cinematic world. You can just focus on what is still a big and important part, but is kind of car movies and car scenes in movies.
Absolutely. And you know, I was trying to, it was crazy because I started breaking down a list and right before I came on, you guys started, you know, talking about movies with great scenes in cars. Meanwhile, I'm like trying to make this list over the last few days, you know, try to whittle it down because there's so many movies where cars are important. You know, some cases where cars are almost as important as the actors in the film because they're so iconic. They create such an image that people, you know, they want to buy that car. And then, you know, that particular maker of that model, they sell a huge amount that year or something crazy along those lines. But then you have, you know, great race movies. You have also great chase movies. So, I mean, I tried to categorize it because I know a lot of ideas are going to come up, you know, when people think car movies.
You can't, so. Blake, you cannot. You talk about whittling it down. It's almost impossible because the more you think about it, kind of the bigger that the whole list get. And a lot of them have, they can make a good case for being included in it. And you know, I just thought of, you know, would you say like Herbie the Love Bug? That was like a huge, huge movie. And so let's go back to the first thing that you talked about, which is, you know, movies or cars that are in movies that then kind of translate into their presence on the road. Is that something that you see? And I know that you had on the list, and we'll talk about that one first, like Smokey and the Bandit was, I mean, that basically, that is, you know, one of the legendary cars of the last maybe, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. And it was, I don't know if that entire demand, but certainly the fame of that car was born in that film.
Absolutely. I mean, okay, so here's the other thing, too. And before I really get into this subject, I want everybody to know that while I do know these movies, I don't always know the exact cars. So I had fun looking up a majority of, like, the year, the model, the make, and then I learned something, you know, preparing for this segment. But the 77 Trans Am was on the map thanks to Smokey and the Bandit. I mean, it was a cool car. But it was one of those things where the movie is this gigantic almost ad showing, you know, the horsepower and the speed and the maneuverability of this vehicle. I mean, it's outrunning the police the entire film. It's doing huge jumps and crazy things that, you know, back then they didn't have CGI. There were no special effects. They had to actually have the cars be able to do what you see them do on screen. And so the Trans Am became one of the coolest cars, one of the most iconic. In fact, my parents went on their first date to see Smokey and the Bandit. I don't necessarily know if they were aware of what they were going to see at the time, but I know that, you know, I brought up I was going to talk about that. My mom, first thing out of her mouth was, you know, that's the movie your dad and I went to on our first date. And my dad will still talk about how cool the Trans Am was. So I know that, like, you know, generationally, you know, if younger people are starting to see movies like Smokey and the Bandit, they're going to remember a car like that because of how, one, how cool it looked, and two, all the cool stuff that the car did in the film.
Well, you think about it, like, and what are the essential elements to a great car film? For Smokey and the Bandit, you had the car, and then you had really a great actor of the time, you know, the leading box office star of the time, Burt Reynolds, right? Then you had Jackie Gleason in there as the always stymied, you know, state trooper. And then you had the music too, right? You had the CB thing and the trucking thing kind of came, like all those different elements that were sort of trending at the time were together in that movie, plus a few laughs. And I think there was a love story. Wasn't like Sally Field in that?
Sally Field. Yeah. I was going to say one of the most likable women to ever walk in front of a camera. She even talked about that, you know, when she won her award. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, Jerry Reed's music is another big thing because, you know, the whole racing culture in this country, you know, you were just talking to Kenny Wallace, you know, St. Louis, Missouri guy who's talking about how his whole family, you know, he felt like they were rednecks. But, like, the whole Southern trend of racing sort of permeated throughout that film also due to the fact that country, you know, Western music was a big part of it as well, thanks to Jerry Reed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that movie was one of those things that was so set in its time, but for some reason has stayed ageless. You could put on Smokey and the Bandit or a movie like it, or even another movie such as like Bullet, you know, where the Ford Mustang GT was the go-to vehicle. And the way that they filmed those types of films, you know, with actual stunt drivers, or in the case of Bullet, Steve McQueen doing all of his own, you know, insisting that he does his own driving. it definitely can permeate for a long time with audiences, regardless of their generation, because it just looks so cool. And I'm not saying go out and repeat what you see on camera, but it sort of invigorated audiences to think, wow, I could get behind the wheel and learn how to do that too. And so it became a very easy to relate to type of film or thing to, you know, learn about, you know, cars, not just the actors playing the parts and the movies and the stories, but also the element within the film that helps, no pun intended, drive the narrative.
847 put in for the 68 Mustang from Steve McQueen Bullitt 2. And as I was talking to people this week, there were a couple people who mentioned that, but really it was one of the first kind of situations where you had product placement, where you could see it up on the screen, and it mm-hmm. really translated into what people for a big ticket item would buy and then go ahead and use. And then it kind of, you know, Burt Reynolds, he's been in a bunch of different movies, of course, you know, and a great star, and he's got good range and in all those different things that he's done. But then mm-hmm. he followed it up with like a completely ridiculous movie that was also a pretty decent hit, Cannonball Run.
Cannonball Run, yeah. And that also had a sequel. In fact, I believe Jackie Chan's first exposure to American audiences was in the Cannonball Run franchise.
Yes, it was.
So, I mean, you know, this is one of those crazy things where, like, Burt Reynolds behind the wheel of a car was probably the movie pitch. And then off they went, you know, and they found a way to turn it into this sort of it's a madman, madman world, you know, this wild madcap, big bunch of stars, race film. And in the end, it ends up being iconic in its own right. You know, not so much like, you know, the car itself being, you know, the most iconic thing, like, say, Smokey and the Bandit, but definitely one of those things where, you know, people craved horsepower. They wanted speed. They wanted action. And the action doesn't have to be buildings blowing up and guns being fired. It just has to be this high-octane feel. And, you know, you got that in movies like Grand Prix with James Garner, which, by the way, I was reading up, you know, Steve McQueen apparently was absolutely furious that he lost out on the lead role in Grand Prix to James Garner. I mean, he basically said, I do all my own driving. I do everything. Well, then he went off and made a movie called Le Mans, which, if you're not familiar with, is also one of those pinnacle racing films. It takes place in the 70s. So, you know, in the time that it was made. So, I mean, these are all different types of, you know, ways that they made cars such an important part of, you know, telling great stories.
Well, here's the thing, too. It isn't like superhero movies are all about superheroes and they've got superpowers and they're always cool. You've got some of these movies and like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is about, I mean, it's a flying mm-hmm. car, so I guess that is a superpower, but they're not always like, you know, just incredibly, you know, big horsepower cars or modern day cars. It's really gone the gamut. So you have some of those old muscle cars from the past. And then you get into some of the foreign cars and some of those ones, you know, with the drifting and the Fast and Furious, you know, where the yep. car is a central element, but the car is so interchangeable.
Yeah, they are. And I was going to say, the thing about the Fast and the Furious franchise, which I think makes it interesting, at least for audiences, and why people keep buying tickets, and they do, they buy tickets to see those movies, is the fact that all these different characters within the series, you know, we have repeat actors and in parts, you know, and of course the tragic death of Paul Walker pulls his character out of that. But each character sort of has their own type of car that they're known for. You know, Vin Diesel has always driven a muscle car in the series, whereas Paul Walker was always driving, you know, sort of the really tricked out, you know, like street racing cars. And then, of course, they have like Lamborghinis and things like that. And so you're able to craft characters that have their own type of vehicle. And so that lends to sort of being falling into that iconic realm. But also, you know, they're chase films. They're really cool. Now, that shows us what CGI can also do for, you know, great high octane action is it. They don't do it in every scene, but when they do, it helps take it to, you know, new levels.
It
keeps it exciting.
It makes it so much easier, but it does. As someone who follows films that you do, you really have to look back with some serious respect for what they had to mm-hmm. go through to visually get those, either the chase scenes or the crash scenes or the jump scenes, when they had to, you know, have 10, 15 of the cars on hand at any one time to be able to do those stunts.
Right, exactly. Well, and the coordination. I mean, you have so many different stunt drivers working all at once in unison, and you have to wonder, like, okay, this is like watching a musical in a lot of ways. You know, this is a big Busby Berkeley dance number, and except it's with cars and stunt drivers. And at that point, you have to really appreciate, you know, the skill and the practice and the timing that went into putting those things, those types of scenes together, you know, because it wasn't always CGI. People were Gone in 60 Seconds was done with actual drivers behind the wheels of actual cars. It's a similar situation.
Yeah. The skill level is definitely there. I want to let the listeners know we're talking with Blake Stubbs. He is the man with his hand on the steering wheel, the pulse, the cutting edge of films now. And, of course, in the past, we're talking about your favorite or best ever car movies, car scenes. We've had so many listeners texting in and calling in. Another one is 815. Gran Torino is one that's based around a car. And then also too is the car was one, Christine on the horror end. We'll talk about that and some of those different kind of genres, after the break, but also too is one thing you consider. And we've talked about the fact that it could be cars that are, you know, either from whatever kind of era and whatever kind of horsepower or configuration, but also ages too, because it isn't one of those things. Horror movies, typically, you know, adults like those, kids like them once they get to be teenagers, little kids maybe not so much. But some of the biggest probably car-related movies, probably Speed Racer, Cars for sure, which is a cartoon. You know, kids love those things.
Absolutely. And Cars is such a fun movie for families to watch together. First of all, great voice talent throughout the entire, you know, franchise, because now we're about to have Cars 3 come out. And I still think we're not entirely sure what Cars 3 is going to encompass. But, you know, Pixar sort of hit the nail on the head. Like, cars come to life and they're as animated and interesting and personality filled as human beings. We could build an entire universe around that. And they have. And they've done a great job. I mean, I remember when Cars came out and, you know, you'd be just walking around the grocery store and, you know, you see a little kid in a cart, they're holding a Lightning McQueen, a toy in their hand. And you think, wow, you know, that's kind of much akin to when I was a kid and all I ever wanted was the DeLorean from Back to the Future in Hot Wheel form. Because you always wanted to play and imagine and get to, you know, pretend. And so Cars really makes, you know, the automobile world accessible to young children if they're not able to watch movies like, for example, oh, I don't know, Death Race 2000, Smokey and the Bandit, The French Connection. You know, those types of movies aren't accessible to kids. But so, definitely something like Cars is fun and family friendly.
Yeah, and you're seeing the success of those films. They are successful, and they're kind of built around that automotive backdrop. We're letting people know we're talking with Blake Stubbs all about your favorite and some of the best car movies out there. We're going to take a break, and we come back, Blake, we're going to talk about some movies that I know you have ready to go, as far as and some with Chicago connections that are around cars and also the city of Chicago. We did get from the 309 Batman. I think that was filmed part of it here, and of course that's one of the greatest cars of all time. You've got the Mystery Machine with Scooby-Doo, but the Batmobile, right, is huge. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Blues Brothers, I think, as well when we come back. So stay tuned, and 312-981-7200. You can text in, you can call in and suggest your favorite or get any questions that you may have for Blake. We're going to take a quick break. It's Dane on the road here on 720 WGN.
It's got a cop motor, a 440 cubic inch plant. It's got cop tires, cop suspension, cop shocks. It was a model made before catalytic converters, so it'll run good on regular gas. What do you say? Is it the new Bluesmobile or what? Fix a cigarette lighter.
720 WGN on the road with Dane here, Michigan Avenue, the Allstate Showcase studio. And the topic we're talking about for the next handful of minutes with Blake Stubbs is your favorite and some of the best. I don't know if there's a way to say like the best as far as maybe award winning or whatever, but certainly some favorite car movies. And we have had so many people, 312-981-7200, try to get to a couple of these really quick. So we had Gran Torino, we had Speed Racer, we had White Lightning, another Burt Reynolds movie. My Mother, the Car, Gone in 60 Seconds. There's a ton of those. Lisa's going to print out some of those as well. And we're going to get to Steve. We got Steve on the line here, and you've got one. Steve, welcome to WGN.
Friday Night Lights. The gentleman, his uncle, had pulled up when the other younger boy had picked up his gear after he hurt his leg, and it was a 77 Monte Carlo, nice. Yellow. It was a beautiful vehicle. I had a 77 and a half Monte Carlo, and that was a big vehicle, and it was a beautiful vehicle, and I loved that car.
See, now Steve here, so Friday Night Lights, people know it. It was a football movie, right? But of course there was you know, cars front and center in the movie that played a big role in kind of the whole feel, kind of the ambiance of the film.
Yes, and even the trucks were great, because I'm a truck person.
All right, well, thank you. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for sharing.
You bet.
All right, so then we got Blake on the line. Blake, are you back with us?
I am indeed. In fact, I was, as soon as he said Monte Carlo, you know, there's another movie that flashed to mind for me. It's a departure from Friday Night Lights. But Denzel Washington's character drives a Monte Carlo all throughout the movie Training Day.
Yes,
a huge
yes, he
amount
does.
Of the movie takes place in the car. And that's another Oscar-winning film. And I'm just thinking, you know, it's weird how one person is going to say, like, a brand of car or a type of car or, you know, something like that, and I'm going to go right to another movie because, you know, my mind works like that. It's all in movies. But I was definitely thinking, as soon as he said Monte Carlo, I was like, I remember that car from Friday Night Lights. And then immediately went to, but I also remember the car from Training Day. And then I'm thinking and playing those scenes in my mind. And I know that's why cars are so important in cinema for people. They immediately remember, you know, their favorite moment from that car, be it a crash or a chase or even just two people talking, you know, much like in, say, Training Day, for instance.
And for the 708, the movie Spin Out is one. The 224 California Kid, Vanishing Point 847 has texted in. So a lot of people, and it's just like you said, and like it was this week when we were thinking about the topic, is at first, you know, a couple movies come to mind. And then once you start going into it, there's so many cars that have had either, you know, the movies about it or leading roles in films. We've got a couple minutes left. So let's talk a little bit about Blues Brothers. I know you wanted to kind of go into that one.
Oh, absolutely. Blues. Well, okay. I'm on Chicago radio right now, and I could talk Blues Brothers all day. I'm sure the audience would as well. But the big thing about the Blues Brothers is, as much like, you know, Jake and Elwood, the car is a Dodge Monaco. Okay, it's a '74 Dodge Monaco. I made sure I knew the year that car came out, and it definitely put into perspective the fact that a car can be as much a character in a film as any actor. And it didn't matter who the actor was. I mean, that film is littered with big names. But that particular car, by the end of that film, and for those that may out there have not seen the film, I don't want to spoil anything, but the end of the film, you feel for the car as much as you do the characters in the film. So I think that's why Blues Brothers is such an important, and of course the car chases, the car crashes. I mean, I was talking to a buddy of mine the other night, and, you know, we're both about the same age, and he was discussing how I remember when I was a kid, I would see the Blues Brothers come on TV, on TBS or whatever, and watching those police cars crash over and over and over again, he would laugh his head off. And to me, that was always just one of the funniest things as well. Plus, when, you know, John Candy and those two troopers crash into the back of the truck and, you know, what car is this? 5-5, car 55, we're in the back of the truck. You know, I mean, just moments like that are classic and funny, and they leave the audience laughing and wanting more. And Blues Brothers, just, I think you can't talk car movies without bringing up Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
You can go Back to the Future with the DeLorean. And I've already done that. Vacation, the Wagon Queen family truckster is an iconic car because it's so hideous looking.
The metallic
P. Buy it anyway.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so then you have, you know, things like the Mad Max films where all those custom built cars, you know, that are brought together through, you know, this post-apocalyptic era where, you know, they shouldn't even really run, but they do, and gasoline is so rare. The chases and the action is so real and visceral to see. You could just talk car movies all day. I mean, you know, what makes them so great? It's not just the actors. It's also the automobiles.
Oh, and we can't go too much more into this. We got a break for some of the news and everything, but we had, you know, you think about some of those cars, people are texting them in, you know, like the Starsky and Hutch's car, you had some of those. You've got American Graffiti people, multiple people have weighed in about that. So here's the thing is, I want to let the listeners know, Blake Stubbs, you and I are going to do an additional podcast about this subject, for sure, car movies, and then additionally movies in general coming up. We'll do that as part of the Dane Neal Show on WGN Plus, so look forward to that. But Blake, before we let you go, just give out the information so people can follow you, maybe follow up and keep up with this conversation online with social media.
The easiest, best, and most direct way to hit me up would be on Twitter, if you follow me at Blake Stubbs. I think it's a great place to talk movies. I mean, I know we're limited to 140 characters, but nobody said we can't tweet multiple times at each other. So if you want to talk movies, throw some great car movies at me. I know there's things I miss. You know, there's race movies we didn't even really get into today. Rush, The Great Race, Days of Thunder. Tons of fun can be had when you talk about movies. And I know that, you know, you and I are going to have a ball, but to get a hold of me, go right to Twitter.
Right to Twitter. Blake Stubbs, thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for being on the road today.
Thank you. It was totally a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to the future. We'll talk soon.
All right. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to send it to news. It's Dane here on the road on 720 WGN.
Hey, everybody. It's Jason Corbin here, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN. It is On the Road with Dane, and on the line with this is one of the hottest stars in country music. You know him from his number one hits, A Little More Country Than That, and Roll With It. And he is touring the world. He is on the road right now in America, and it was just here in Chicago. He'll be heading to Las Vegas coming up for the ACM Awards. One and only Easton Corbin, welcome to the show.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. Now, on the show, we talk about, you know, getting out there, seeing the world. You have definitely done that as far as the United States traveling. A Little More Country Than That, those are the roots, but you have seen this great land. Talk a little bit about the tour.
Well, you know, we've had a great time out there so far. Last year, we were with Carrie Underwood out there on the Storyteller Tour, playing 15, 20,000 people a night, which is a great opportunity and great experience. We're doing our own thing right now. We're promoting a brand-new single called A Girl Like You. And we're working on a brand new record that's coming off of, and hopefully we should have that complete by the fall.
Yeah, it's got to be exciting times. It's good. Before we went on the air, you said if the least that you have to do as far as work-wise is promote some of the great music projects that you're doing, that's pretty good. But as you travel and you go to some of the places you visit, you know, big cities like Chicago, and of course doing so many things around the country and cities, are there some cities that have stood out on your road trips that you really enjoyed or made an impact on you?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, there's a lot of great cities around the country and, you know, through all the states out there. You know, a lot of times it's just about getting out there and you know, different places have different, I guess, characteristics, you'd say.
Talk about the new song. And you've had a lot of success, a lot of early on success. I don't know that you'd want to have it any other way with those number one hits. And now you've taken a little bit of time, reworked it, and you're excited about the new song. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, you know, this new song is a song that I first heard it. I was like, man, you know, it's a little different. And when I heard it, I was like, you know, I think I can take this song and make it my own. And I think we've done that. And it's about, you know, staying current, but also keeping your roots about you. And I think we've done that.
Well, for the ACM, you've won those awards and been successful within that event. But what is it like to be able to perform in and around that event with your peers and have all of those other leaders in the music industry with you on that night?
Oh, it's a lot of fun, you know, to get out there and hang out with your fellow artists out there that you don't normally get to hang out with.
Now, here's some of the concerts, too, and on this show, we also feature some of the personalities of music and also motorsports, too, and you've performed live at NASCAR events, and you've been a part of that. Talk a little bit about kind of your feelings and experiences in the racing community as you performed.
Well, we've done a few races, and, you know, great fans out there. You know, the country music fans or the country music world and the race fans are, you know, kind of go hand in hand, you know, that lifestyle.
And then we also wanted to touch base in so many interviews that we do. People, once you get to be successful, whether it's a famous chef, an athlete, an entertainer in your field, it's nice to give back. And I've done work with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. My brother-in-law is one of those wish granters. And so over the years, he has been out there either at NASCAR races, at concerts, sporting events, kind of taking those kids along as they get those once-in-a-lifetime experiences at a time when they're facing those challenges. I know that you have worked closely with them on this. So talk about your connection to Make-A-Wish.
Yeah, man. You know, I think for me, and you know, I think generally in life, and especially country music, it's about giving back, especially when you've been blessed with a lot, and things about blessing other people. And for me, I've been very fortunate and lucky to be able to work with Kretschmar and work with Make-A-Wish and help grant those wishes to, you know, children with life-threatening illnesses and, you know, putting a smile on their face. That's what it's all about.
So what was your first car? Like, as you now you're touring the country, you probably have a nice luxury motor coach. I would hope so, at least. But in the past, maybe, you know, you toured some of these concerts in your car, and maybe growing up, what was the first car that you ever had, Easton?
First car? Well, I had a Toyota truck. That's the first vehicle I ever had.
So the career, not only is you're giving back to so many fans with so much music that they're enjoying it, but you are getting that opportunity to see America as well. Continued success. Enjoy the events. Enjoy performing at the ACM. Enjoy all the concerts around the country. I know the fans will enjoy that. And thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Dane. Appreciate it.
Good to have him on, and make sure to check him out tomorrow at the ACM Awards. He'll be performing there, and we're going to have our own performance, live performance here in the studio at WGN. And for the show On the Road, yes, we talk, you know, some cars and some racing, and we talk some road trips for sure, but we also talk some travel, and we are going to be finding a way that you can do this tonight, not, you know, far off in the future. You can transport yourself to a beachy paradise at Coconuts coming up a little bit later on tonight, complete with tropical drinks, sand, festivities, and music. We've got Johnny Lono. He is going to be with us. He's the tiki god of music and bingo. He'll be performing when we come back from the break. So stay tuned for that. It's Dane here on the road, 720 WGN. Very nice. All right, that is the musical stylings of Johnny Lono, the tiki god of music and bingo from Coconuts. So, Johnny, welcome to WGN, along with Christy Land. She's one of the GMs over there. Guys, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having us.
So this is a big night. You know, here on the show, we try to offer up some opportunities, talk about some different things that are happening. Many of them are across the country, maybe across the ocean. This one is just across town. You guys are at, is it 13 West Division? Is that where you guys are located?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So let's go to Christy first. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening over there, because you're going to be able to transport listeners tonight to, even though it's a very nice day out, even nicer inside the confines of Coconuts, right?
It is always vacation in Coconuts. We have sand on the floor this week. You can dig your toes in and get crazy, but that's the goal of Coconuts, and we're on Division Street. We bring something really different to the strip, where you can literally transport yourself and feel like you're on vacation every single night of the week, Wednesday through Saturday.
So describe some, we've got some of the, you know, part of the, you know, things that people enjoy when they're on vacation, especially a tropical vacation, is some of the beverages. And oftentimes those beverages come in special glasses or with maybe some fruit attached. You've got some flowers here. And so you've got some great representation of some of those drinks.
Yeah, I always say time flies when you're having rum. And we do have two signature drinks that you can get either in a glass, or we do fish bowls, which are really popular.
How big, if like the carnival style? The little one with the fish in it.
They're good for two, and if you've had a really rough week, we won't judge you if you need to drink most of it alone. But we do have our signature punch in the nuts, and also our mermaid water, which are probably our two most popular rum-based drinks, featuring Bacardi and Malibu rums.
Then they look great too. And of course, it is a punch, right? And then of course the place is Coconuts.
Coconuts.
So that's where you get the name. And
absolutely.
So it's certainly a safe drink for people. You don't have to worry about protecting, you know, any areas on yourself. You just sit back and enjoy it. And so, Johnny, you're there on a regular basis. You'll be out at the place tonight. You're not going to be performing.
Sir.
So in and out of a couple of breaks here on WGN is the place where people are going to be able to hear you performing. But so how does one become the tiki god of music? And then also build in a little fun bingo in there.
You know, well, Lono, the tiki god of music, kind of came down on a rainbow. And he infested my spirit as Johnny. And I just happened to be at the beautiful Coconuts at the time. It was a rainy day, but when I was inside, it really felt like a warm day sitting out on a beach in Cancun or in the Keys, one of those places. So I threw on a little bit of ska music, a little bit of the Specials, a little bit of that, you know, Clash sound, some Damian Marley. And next thing you know, people are coming in the doors and they feel like it's summer.
So when it comes to the ukulele, it's I don't want to say it's a mysterious instrument, but it isn't as commonplace as, let's say, the guitar or the banjo or the spoons or the washboard or any of those other famous instruments. So how did you get into the ukulele, and what does it take to become a great player?
You know, I was actually gifted my first ukulele while I was in a production of Midsummer Night Dream. The company I was doing that with, the man owned a guitar shop, so he thought, hey, if I put ukuleles in this and all these people see these ukuleles, they'll go buy ukuleles. Sure enough, it worked, and I just love the sound of the instrument. I play guitar as well, but the tropical theme, only having to use four strings, it gives you a lot of versatility while it's still easy to play. And like anything, if you really want to get good at it, just go seclude yourself and practice.
There's no substitute for live music, and it really does add to the ambiance, especially if you're in a restaurant or a club that is one of those transformational places, right? You're trying to set up a certain vibe, kind of a beachy, tropical vibe. Yeah. So, you know, when you have people up, did you have people coming up to you and asking you about, have you inspired any other players? You know, like, hey, I'd like to learn to play. Where can I get one? I mean, have you kind of inspired that next generation of ukulele stars?
Well, it's funny because once you play ukulele, there's so many people who get little ukuleles as sort of a gag gift. So once you become someone who actually fundamentally enjoys the instrument, other people will sort of just give ukuleles to you in the sort of
what?
George Harrison. Yeah, it's a real thing. And other people just want to get ukuleles. So when a lot of times, I didn't do it today.
You mean normally, collect them? Like yeah, some people would collect
people will
rock
collect
stamps
them.
Or...
Yeah, because a lot of times you can get a ukulele
cars.
For pretty cheap. It doesn't take a lot of wood to make. And a lot of people also, you know, consequently let them fall to the wayside. So they'll give them to someone who likes them. And then I like to do a little George Harrison thing. He always brought two ukuleles wherever he went because he would end up teaching someone and they would want
Are
one.
Are you serious? I did not know that.
That's why he's the best Beatle.
That's okay. Wow, that's a great history. Okay, so you've got the live music and so Johnny Lono, let's tell you your full title, the Tiki God of Music and Bingo. When can people, they'll be able to see you, talk to you, kind of get up close and personal with you tonight
right.
at the Big Beach Party. But when you're performing live, what's your normal schedule? And then where does the bingo fit in?
So I'm there every Wednesday and Thursday from 8 to midnight. If you show up around the 8 o'clock mark, just come up to the Crow's Nest where I hang out. If you want me to play you a song on ukulele, it helps if you grease the tip jar a little bit. But I can learn them pretty quick. And I'll perform it for you.
Are you one of those kind of musical savants? You can play any song that anybody comes up with?
I'm working on it. So, no.
Okay. All right. 312-981-7200 if you have a selection that you want Johnny to play when we come back from the next break. But, Christy, so over there, we talked a little bit about the drinks. That's great. Explain a little bit about the party. And then something else is happening tonight where people are going to win, obviously, with a good time and some great refreshments. But also there's a big contest coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. So this week we've been celebrating our own spring break in Chicago. Every night this week, Wednesday through Saturday, we have been giving away and will give away tonight a trip for two, all-inclusive, to Cancun, Mexico.
So you've been giving away a trip every single night?
Every single night. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You just have to come in, and you can get your raffle ticket. And then
Wow. We
do other activities throughout the night to earn extra tickets to enter to win that trip, such as luau contests, beer pong tournaments, all kinds of stuff where you can win other tickets to get to Mexico. So the winners for the last three nights have had such a good time, and they've actually
come back
every single night.
Can you do that? I mean, is it
you
a set?
You can. I mean, there's no rule saying that you can't come back and keep winning. So
you could go to Coconuts tonight. You can get in there. You can enjoy, you know, the drinks that we've talked about, some of the ambiance. We'll talk a little bit about the food in the next segment, some things that people may be able to enjoy. You can win the trip. Is there a set time when the trip takes place, or can you pick a time that's good for you?
So we give
you
away
leave
the
right
trip.
Then.
No, you don't have to leave right then. But we're giving away the trip at midnight, and DJ Cat Scratch is our entertainer last night and tonight.
Wow.
DJ Cat Scratch is amazing. Such a great DJ that we have every single weekend. But
Is he just doing like Ted Nugent covers? What does he do?
He is such a great DJ. He keeps the party going all night long. He takes requests. He plays a little bit of old school, new school, island beats. It's definitely, you definitely feel like you are partying every time you are there on the weekends. But we'll be giving away the trip at midnight. You don't have to leave and get on a plane right away, although that was actually an idea that mm-hmm. we had. You have a year to use the trip, so it's all-inclusive for two people to Cancun, Mexico, courtesy of Lodge Management Group and Apple Vacations.
Coconuts on Division 13 West, Division Street, Coconuts, and that's with a Z, Chicago.com. Coconuts with a Z, Chicago.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're actually going to have some gift cards we're going to give away to Coconuts, so you can have the opportunity to enjoy the party, enjoy all of the party, kind of on Coconuts, and then have that chance to win not only the opportunity to see Johnny Lono, of course, but also that trip to Cancun. So stay tuned here. It's Dane Neal on the road with Dane on 720 WGN. And we are back, 720 WGN, on the road with Dane and here with the Tiki God of Music and Bingo, Johnny Lono and Kristen Land from Coconuts on Division 13 West Division. So in the last like minute or so that we've got here, we're going to give away, you've got a $50 gift card that we'll be able to give away to a lucky caller. And
absolutely.
Any kind of ukulele trivia, Johnny, that you want to use as the question? Or do you want to just give it away to the fifth caller? What do you want to do? or the 13th caller, because you guys are 13th West?
That is Johnny's favorite number, actually. Every time he calls B13 on the bingo, you know, someone gets a special prize Wednesday and Thursday when we do bingo. So I like 13.
All right, so for the 13th caller, and here's what you're going to get. You're going to get an opportunity, a $50 gift cards that you'll have to either pick up here at the station, or maybe we'll send them back to Coconuts with you guys.
Yes,
and we'll get you the name right, and then you can enjoy the party on them, at least $50 worth of it, and then enter to win as well. So go ahead, 312-981-7200, the 13th caller. Lisa's going to take that, and then afterwards, after we've got the beat guys coming up, we'll get a hold of you and make sure that you get your name on that list and get those cards. So for everybody that listened, thanks. On the Road, it was a pretty great show today. I was really excited to hear all of the input on your favorite car movies. Johnny, you got your favorite car movie?
Favorite car movie? Definitely Too Fast, Too Furious.
Too Fast, Too Furious?
Yeah.
Christy, favorite car movie?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. I'm
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to actually go with Johnny on the Fast and the Furious.
You can't go wrong. Those are great. And On the Road with Dane at Gmail, you can go ahead and email in your first car, your favorite road trip, or, of course, your favorite movie. Be entered to win those tickets to the Indy 500 coming up, and, of course, our Facebook page coming up. So, Elise, what is the Facebook page again?
It's On the Road with Dane, Facebook search bar.
That's a good one, the Facebook page. Thanks to everybody who participated in the show. Thanks to everybody who listened. Thanks to you guys from Coconuts, and stay tuned for the guys at the beat. Right now, it is 4 o'clock and news time. Here's Bob Kessler.